Hi, I'm Alina Hovhannisyan, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase podcast.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 49, Don't Beg, Don't Fight. So, it came to me through a recent friend that I've discovered, this terminology of don't beg and don't fight. And so as I went off and I started to explore the history of don't beg and don't fight, I found the ideology of the saying to be rather intriguing. And so some of the quotes that we pulled together that we'll talk about through this particular podcast. One quote I will read before I introduce our featured guests. Stop begging and fighting for people to love you the right way. Stop investing time in people who don't mind if you stay or leave. Very, very interesting perspective on the terminology don't beg and don't fight. And so to our listeners, our special guest today, Alina Hovhannisyan, I never pronounce that right because I don't have the proper Armenian or Russian accent, so forgive me, is a financial service professional that believes in helping clients understand their options and achieving their goals, which overall makes her job quite rewarding. Alina was born in Armenia, which at the time was a part of the Soviet Union. She speaks Armenian and Russian, and during the years of the war in her country, she endured many difficulties in living conditions such as no water, no electricity, and bad quality of food that made a part of her life very appreciative in everything that she has today, and she doesn't take things for granted. She's since gone on to graduate with a master's degree in biology and went to Norway for an internship in marine biology. A new chapter in her life began when she was awarded a green card lottery back in 2011, which allowed for her to move to Austin, Texas with her and her family. Here in the States, Alina went back to school and graduated with her MBA from the University of Phoenix in Austin, Texas. Accidentally, she ended up in the hotel business in group sales as a group sales manager. There is where she realized her passion for sales and the need to be able to work in conjunction with people. Alina says the joys of the process of connecting with people is different from the background of creating the relationship, which we will talk about later on today. In 2014, to save her marriage, her and her husband decided to leave Austin and move to Los Angeles. Alina's job as a hotel manager in Beverly Hills, where she received 3 promotions within a 2-year period, but because of COVID, the hotel had to close and she lost her job. Now, she was working from home as a financial and insurance agent, enjoying helping people and basically securing their lifelong happiness. Alina has struggled for years to find her happiness while dealing with her conservative culture where men dominate it and women have no right to make decisions. Instead of partnership, women should have been like servants, no rights to make decisions, which she felt suffocated. And because her personality is completely different, she had to play a role of a good wife for many, many years. A few years ago, her life changed completely due to a new concept called reality transurfing. That concept, if you want something, don't beg and don't fight for it. Just go and take it. Alina, I don't know if I do a good job of introducing people. Some people say, Greg, yeah, you're pretty good. Sometimes you're really bad. But, you know, do you have any opening remarks for our listeners?
Thank you so much. It was a great description of my biography. Thank you so much for having me on Cut to the Chase. This is my first podcast ever. I'm a little bit nervous, but we'll see how it will go. I'm really excited to, convey some thoughts that the listeners might find helpful for their life, you know, to use in their own lives, and some of experience that I had, and the idea that I'm using in my everyday life, that reality transurfing and how it transformed my life. I hope it will help a lot.
Right. So why don't we cut to the chase? Why don't we jump into some questions? So the first thing I want to do to kind of set the tone for our listeners is, you were born in Armenia, and this was during the years of the war, where you endured, you know, living conditions that were, as I will say, subpar. And so the thought process there for where I'm going with this question is, when you were awarded the opportunity of the green card lottery back in 2011, how was that feeling for you? I mean, was that a motivation uplift for you to feel that now you would be able to leave such harsh environments in your own native country and come to another country where you could actually start over? Can you walk us through kind of that process of what was going on in your life?
Sure. So when I realized that we are moving all together, my kids were 5 and 6 years old at the time, and mm-hmm. I was married already. Going in a new country with the family and young kids, it's very scary, I would say, because even though you think it's such a great opportunity to start new life, but everything is vague, right? You don't know what will happen. If I was single, it would be much easier because, you know, if you don't really eat well one day, it's okay. But mm-hmm. you have to provide for your kids. I mean, it's more responsibility with the family. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like throwing yourself into unknown.
Sure. Yeah. I can relate with you there. As many different countries as I've lived in through my business career span. You know, the adjustment to culture, the adjustment to change, the adjustment to the rules, all of those things can be quite frightening. And I guess my next question is, you ended up in Austin, Texas, which is, that's not far away from where Cut to the Chase headquarters is, you know, we're located in San Antonio. So once you were awarded the green card, were you able to pick a city to go to, or was that a place that you guys had targeted to move to?
The reason why we chose Austin is because my sister, she moved years ago. Before mm-hmm. we did, she was living in Austin, and we thought, you know, she can help us for a few months mm-hmm. until, you know, you get your paperwork. Then you cannot basically do anything in the States when you don't have a credit score. That's what I realized. I'm like, right. I can pay cash for apartment. No, you need to have a good credit score.
Right.
So it's a little bit different rules. Like in my country, cash is the king. Sure. So here it's a credit score. Anyway, so it's just to get some help from my sister for the first period until you settle. That's why it was Austin.
Sure. Totally understandable. And it's rather ironic that you mention, kind of how some of the nuances of being, you know, an immigrant and coming into the U.S. because mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of people, you know, not only abroad, but also here in country. And they always share that with me, too. You know, they bring their families over and, you know, they're ready to obviously move into a house, you know, the American dream. And they realize, well, wait a minute, I've got to have, you know, a good credit score. I've got to, and then, you know, of course, those things don't happen overnight. You have to, you know, they literally take time, you know, in order to build that that credit score into something that, you know, becomes appealing for a bank. So thank you for sharing that with us.
So
another great thing here, which before we get into reality transurfing, you know, it's all of these things that were like nuggets to me. You were sprinkling the breadcrumbs for me. You know, you also attended the University of Phoenix there in Austin. And for me, I'm kind of a double alumni. I mean, I went to the University of Illinois, where I have a mechanical engineering degree. And then, of course, I went back to the University of Phoenix and got my bachelor's in business. And so, you know, to the Phoenix alma mater, you know, we certainly have to hang together.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's just so many common things that I got from your bio that were rather, I would just call them coincidental things that kind of made it easy for me to relate to your story and your struggles. So let's kind of fast forward this. So we've gone from you guys, you and your family, you've moved over in 2011. You're here in the Austin area. You're basically kind of in the vicinity and living, you know, in the vicinity of where your sister is, because this is where your sister reside. And then, of course, the decisions in 2014 that kind of thrusted you upon making a change. I mean, what were those things like for you in 2014?
So that's another moment of my husband's as a decision maker in the family. Like you mentioned, that cultural thing that in conservative countries like Armenia, men they're dominant and they're the decision makers. They basically kind of don't really consult with you as a wife. So before 2014, at some point, my parents also moved from Armenia to Austin, Texas. So it's like my sister, my parents, so all my side of the family kind of was gathering there. And my husband started perceiving it as a little bit like a threat, because no one was from his side, kind of. And then my side was like more and more people coming there. So that's why I think he really wanted to isolate me. So he was convincing me for a year to move to Los Angeles, where he actually had a lot of friends there. There is a large Armenian community in Los Angeles. So that was part of his like strategy. To, you know, because I loved Austin and I wanted to be surrounded with my, you know, closest family, right? So there was no point for me to leave. But eventually he was able to convince me, saying that there might be some opportunities that we might not have in Austin, and I decided to give it a try. So that's how we moved, and then we started kind of all over again in the new state. Finding a new job. So I end up in Beverly Hills, which is a nice area. It was a luxury hotel. So after moving, I realized that it's not really helping in our relationship to make it better, because all those years I was internally kind of fighting against that control that I had from my husband, because coming from a family of doctors and being a scientist in the first place, I was very open-minded. I am a very open-minded person. I don't really fit in that type of country where I was born. So at some point, I just decided that enough is enough, and I was about to get divorced.
And at that moment in time is when you came across the concept of reality transurfing. And for our listeners, you know, as I had to go off and do some research on this, based on Alina and I talking during our discovery call, you know, I realized that Transurfing is a powerful tool for really kind of managing reality. And there are just so many things that came out of that dialogue that you and I had. And I saw, you know, the confidence, I saw the passion and the determination that really allowed for you in what we call here in America is to be an empowered woman. So when you were talking to me about that during our discovery call, I just saw your strength, you know, literally kind of grow in front of me. I know it's been years that you've been studying and you've gone through kind of this correction factor, but it was just so appealing to watch and listen to you and understand this kind of new concept. And so as we dive into some of these things, I just want to kind of help our audience understand that Transurfing is the art of controlling reality using our freedom of choice. Hence the reason, don't beg and don't fight. Because I'm going to let Alina dive into this. This is definitely going to be an interesting topic of discussion here. So, Alina, go ahead. Let's dive into this. Let's talk about Transurfing and what does it mean to you?
So it was a life changer for me because all those years, those previous years, I was feeling like a victim, you know, because like being under that control, you know, no equality, no partnership in the family. And just even overall, like in Armenia, when I had a job, it was always like the higher positions were for men. So there was like a ceiling for women. You can't go higher than that because you just born woman. That's it. So, and then during the years, people like that, like in the position like I was, they develop a psychology of a victim and they start blaming like other people or circumstances, right? So it's like, oh, you know, I'm in such a situation now because my husband, he's this and this, he's bad, he doesn't treat me like this. So it's like you're blaming everyone else, but not yourself. So when I started going deeper into this concept, I realized that why I'm blaming anyone else, I need to take responsibility for my actions, right? No one was forcing me to marry that man. No one was forcing me to live with him for years. So it was basically my choice. Then why I'm trying to find someone to blame. So the first step is like you realize that you know, whatever happens in your life, it was always your choice, the choices you made. And once you realize it, it just completely changes your attitude. And there is another category of people. Look, so if you're not a victim, like you think you're a fighter, so you just go and you never give up and you just crush everything and you just, even if something is so hard, you just go through all the obstacles and try to get to your goal. But in the process, those type of people, they don't realize that they waste so much energy. Because if you fight through something, it takes your energy, right? And there is another thing that's called like if it's your door or if it's not your door, like not literally, but you enter, you go towards your goal. If you go through the door that is yours, it will be very easy for you. If you go towards your goal through the door that is not yours, like it means like, you know, the opportunities, whatever happens on the way to your goal, if it's not your door, you will go through so many obstacles and you will just waste so much energy and you will be exhausted in the end. Because sometimes people, they reach the goal and in the end they would be so drained. They would sit and say, so was all this fight for just to get here? I don't even feel satisfied now because I just lost so much energy and I'm completely drained. So they can't enjoy the victory sometimes. So it's important also how you get there. if you put like 15 years of your life to get eventually to your goal, yes, you will reach your goal, but because the fight was so draining, you wouldn't enjoy it in the end. So this reality transurfing, it's like teaches you, that's why it says don't beg and don't fight, because in both situations, it's an energy imbalance. So if you develop attitude that is level, it means that it's not going ups and up and down, like you're not wasting your energy, go through the wrong doors. You just need to figure out the right door, which is yours. And then everything will be easy and smooth for you. Mm-hmm. And you will enjoy the process of getting to your goal. So that's what it is about. That's why it says just go and take it. So if like you, let's say I want to go and buy bread in a grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have excessive energy, nothing emotional going on for me. I need the bread. I just go and buy it. So I just go and take it. That's an example of that attitude that I would recommend to develop towards anything in life. So you want it, you go and take it. You don't have some crazy emotions about buying a bread, right?
Right.
So
right.
Just to understand what I'm talking about. So
oh, sure.
That's why it's don't beg and don't fight. Find your door and just go through the door and everything will be very easy because you will be on the right lifeline. So instead of fighting, you just want to appear on the right lifeline in the reality, in that universe of different lifelines. So once you get there, it's like that movie Matrix. So it's a little bit, from very similar to that.
Understood. And you know, as I was listening to you talk about that, particularly as it relates to the treatment of women not having rights and not being able to make decisions. And, you know, I'm going to correlate this a little bit for our listeners because, you know, you came across as an immigrant. And you know, you still had these things that were kind of a burning desire in you to be free of what I consider to be oppression, because you know, here in the U.S., as you've probably seen through the course of what has gone on and what has transpired this year through not only COVID but the social uprising, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, all of these things are somewhat of the same similarity to what you experienced in Armenia, but except, you know, here in America, the African-American community are still fighting the fact of 400 years, you know, trying to self-correct things that have happened that, you know, probably more than likely 400 years later, maybe we correct it, maybe we don't. But, you know, in the concept of what you've talked about in reality transurfing, to me, it comes down to, and I guess my philosophy in this whole conceptual thing is, it is equality, and it doesn't really matter, you know, male, female, you know, whatever the color of your skin is, you know, we've got to kind of find things in the middle of the fairway to allow for to people to be received and embraced and to have the same fortitude that others would have and resources that others would have in order to be successful. And so, you know, you also mentioned some other things that were rather intriguing too as well, which is something that typically I don't think there's even a program here in the U.S. In some cases, I haven't found one yet, but you know, let's just say you're an immigrant and you come here, you're not really tied in with someone else that already has lived here for so many years. There's not a program that says, hey, Alina, you know, before you guys do X, Y, and Z, you know, you're going to have to build your credit. Well, how do you do that? What are the steps? You know, so there's all these things that typically happen in life and society. And like you said earlier, you know, it can either put you in a bad mood or it can put you in a good mood. Or in your case, you can look at it from a standpoint of just going after it and just taking it. And it's not from an aspect of robbing or stealing. It's just saying calibrate. Right. It's just saying calibrate your mind to understand that this is what you have to do. And I do, I tell you, your analogy on going to the store to get bread, right? It's so funny because sometimes, you know, when I'm around friends, and now, of course, with COVID going on, people are like, oh my God, you know, you could hear it in the tone of their voice. I have to go to the grocery store. Oh my God, I've got to put on a mask. Oh, I need to make sure I'm there early so that, you know, I'm not around other people because, you know, social distancing and all these. I mean, it just becomes so stressful for them that, you know, they say to themselves, oh my God, I'm really psyching myself out. I mean, you know, how hard is it, you know, to go get the bread, as you said?
That's why for those people, actually, if they go with that attitude, the store might be out of bread.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Like, for example, if someone wants to go and do a DMV test, and if they're so worried about it, they're going crazy and so worried, then they will fail because they put too much importance on that. So if it's a level attitude, like, yeah, I mean, nothing, it's not a big deal, I can do that. Even if I don't pass, it's still okay. So what, you know, that kind of, so you have positive attitude if you pass or if you fail. So, but if you're expecting it, you know, oh my gosh, if I fail, that will be horrible. Then with that attitude, people will fail for sure. So that's what it is about as well, like putting too much importance onto something.
Right, right. Yeah, applying too much energy. I completely understand. So we're almost out of time. And so I want to kind of, you know, ask you, do you have like, you know, a few tips, you know, that you can leave with our listeners regarding reality transurfing, some things that, you know, mm-hmm. obviously are passionate to you, things that have worked for you. What would be, you know, maybe two or three things that come to mind that allow for people to kind of reshape their thinking and begin to get out of the funk of putting so much energy into something that may or may not change the course or direction, or it surely may not help them win the lottery, and just go with it. You know, what would be some of the recommendations that you have?
I would like people to remember that reality is like a mirror. So when we have that in mind all the time, we will control our attitude, because mirror, it reflects our thoughts, right? So whatever we show, whatever our actions are, it reflects in the mirror. So if we like pretend that reality is like a mirror, we whatever we want to get back as a reflection, that's what we should project in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But we always forget about that. And then we need to remember to go back to that positive attitude every time that we forget. So if we send positive thoughts and specific actions that are working toward our goal, then the mirror image will be positive as well. And we will get what we want to be reflected in the mirror. Sometimes, people say, I'm doing everything right, I'm thinking positive, why nothing happens? Mm-hmm. But that's another aspect I want to mention. We need to be patient, because that reality mirror, it's not reflecting things right away. It works with delay. The image comes back with delay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it needs some time to reflect back our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's sometimes we're like waiting and why, you know, nothing happens. Just wait a little bit more and don't switch your line. I mean, mm-hmm. don't go to other lines, because if you chose, you know, this is your goal and you feel it's your door, so it's mm-hmm. the right door for you, just be patient and keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because once you switch, then after the mirror will try to reflect your positive thoughts, and you switch and you complain at that moment, right? Like, oh, nothing is happening. It's not working. Nothing is working. Then the mirror eventually will reflect that complaining part of your thoughts, and you will get negative instead of positive in your life. So just remember that reality is a mirror and it acts with delay.
Right.
And everything will be perfect.
Yeah. Well, great insight towards reality transurfing, and certainly very inspiring and compelling, considering, you know, where you've come from. In a lot of cases, you know, we do take things for granted here in the U.S. until you get outside the U.S. and see other cultures and other countries and how they live. And, you know, certainly I'm a witness to that, because I've been into some vicarious places throughout the world, having to work and live and sleep. And certainly I can respect where you've come from. I can respect the transformation that you've gone through. I can respect where you are at this point in your life. And so in the financial service that you're offering, you know, as far as life insurance and investment portfolios and other various things, if people wanted to reach out to you, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way is my LinkedIn profile. They can message me, they can find me and connect there. So I'm not sure how I can. They will see my name on the podcast. So if they just type it correctly, because my last name is horribly long, they will find me on LinkedIn. With the picture that is next to my name. So that's the best way to connect with me.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure that, you know, we put your LinkedIn out there for those that might be interested in those type of services. And certainly I'm going to try and leave this with a thought. You know, there's another great quote that I was able to research and wanted to kind of intertwine that a little bit into this. But before I do that, you know, I have to say, because this has been such a very inspiring and learning and nurturing podcast for me, that people are probably going, well, Greg, how did you and Alana meet? And I will say again, as I've said in many, many other podcasts before, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably one of the most powerful networking platforms on the planet today. And Alana reached out to me, and that's how we were able to facilitate, chatting, networking, friendship, and one thing led to another. And now I convinced her to do her first podcast, and she's done extremely well. I'm sure when people listen to this, this is going to be outstanding to their ears. So,
thank you so much.
absolutely. So with the final quote here, that I found, and I thought it was just very, very inspiring, which aligns with some of the things that you've mentioned already and some of the great things you've shared with our listeners. The quote starts out and it says, "Don't chase, don't beg, don't stress, don't be desperate, just relax. When you relax, it will come to you. Make your wants want you." And when I read that after you and I had talked and I started doing this research, I was like, oh my God, man.
That's a perfect summary, actually. really good.
I will make sure you get a copy of that and where I found it, because it certainly goes in a line with everything we've talked about with reality transurfing and of course your transformation and everything that you've endured, you know, as an immigrant, and where you are today with the successes and life, and obviously your beautiful family. And we wish you much prosperity in all of your endeavors, and you're always going to be a part of the Cut to the Chase family. And we just want to ensure that you know that, and that we embrace not only this opportunity, but future opportunities as well.
Thank you so much, Gregory. And I believe that everything happens for a reason. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, without further ado, we're just about out of time. This is episode 49. Don't beg, don't fight. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much, Alina.
And so much for having me.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate it. And bye-bye, everyone.